Support for KNKX comes from Portage Bay Cafe, now offering local, sustainable, and organic breakfast to go for large parties and corporate events, including the Rancher's Breakfast with classic French toast. More options and information at portagebaycafe.com. Today in the studio, we're going to be hosting the Bill Anschell Quartet, a pianist who's been on the scene here in Seattle for a number of years. The group today consists of guitarist Brian Monroney, Chris Simer on bass, Brad Bohl on drums, led by pianist Bill Anschell. Please welcome the Bill Anschell Quartet to the KPLU studio session. KPLU, KNKX studio session.
Thank you.
the Bill Anschell Quartet. Bill Anschell at the piano, Brian Monroney on guitar, Chris Simer on bass, and Brad Bohl on drums. Thank you very much for coming to KNKX, everybody. It's good
Thanks
to see you.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Good to see you again. While I was listening to that, so what was the name of that song, first of all?
So that's MBK.
MBK.
It's pronounced Mbuk.
And as I was sitting here listening to that, I was recalling my past as a barroom blues drummer. I can play in any time signature that has that is like divisible by four. Talk about the time signatures that you guys were going through there. It seemed quite fun.
In that tune, I don't think technically it ever leaves 4/4, but there's an area in it where we do something that are kind of triplet fives against the four.
Oh, totally understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you asked.
Yes, I know. Those triplet fives against the four, wonderful memories for me as well.
But mostly it's a 4/4 kind of groove
really?
Song. Yeah.
Wow.
And I wrote it actually at a in a food court of a mall in Bangkok, and the mall is called MBK.
Aha.
And I don't know what it stands for.
Now, the fact that you wrote this song in a food court in Bangkok would indicate that this is something that is on your most recent CD called Rumbler.
Good call.
Because I read that you, I think you wrote eight of the compositions on this most recent CD are your compositions.
Right.
And they were written mostly on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
I like not writing at the piano because it forces me to hear everything in my head. And there's a part of me that thinks if I can hear it in my head, then somehow it's more meaningful than something that would either come out of theory or would come out of my hands because I was sitting at a piano and started to play stuff that felt good. So I pretty much write all my pieces away from the piano.
So like on a napkin, or I mean,
no, I take
write
music
them
paper.
How?
By hand. Okay. on sheet music paper.
My goodness. So you
napkins if I'm desperate. I have done that. If there was just like two measures and I realized it would fix the tune or something, and there was a napkin or a scrap of paper nearby.
So let me get this straight. You're sitting in a food court in Bangkok, and you're going...
You want to know what I was eating, don't you?
I don't. I want to know what the people around you were thinking.
I did feel really conspicuous, and I tried to like sort of hide to the extent I could, like, you know, in a corner, alcove kind of. I don't like it when, I don't mind people coming up to me and saying, oh, you're a musician, huh? But I hate the feeling that they might think that I'm doing that because I want attention or something. Mm-hmm. So it drives me, you know, when I ride in an airplane, I'm kind of leaning over to the side to stop the person next to me from seeing what I'm doing. And
or cribbing it, who knows?
Of course.
Well, the most recent CD, Rumbler, came out first of the year. And as I said to you earlier, I had read somewhere where you saw this as a very clear progression in your musical journey. How so?
Well, there's a couple of ways. I guess I hadn't recorded a band CD actually for more than 10 years. I had done solo and smaller projects, but nothing with a drummer.
Really?
So there was that. And I've also been really into writing electronic music. It's kind of my hobby. I really enjoy it. And so I've been more into textures maybe than I was in the past. So I wanted to write something. I didn't really want to play keyboards on it, but getting a guitar player like Brian, who, as you can see at his feet there, how many pedals are lined up?
Yeah, they're actually tiered, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. There are
so,
buttons and
you know,
pedals.
He can get, and you heard it on that song, he can get organ-like sounds. He's a very orchestral player, which is really helpful to me, and that's probably the most distinctive thing about this new CD compared to other ones I've done.
We have a young guest in the studio today, a lovely little girl who's going to be four next month. So we may hear improv from that section as well, and we're prepared for it. Yeah, it's really great to hear this ensemble. I come from a generation where everything is better with a guitar,
yeah.
Except maybe Mozart's clarinet quartet, maybe. And I haven't heard it with guitar, so I can't say definitively. Would you like to play something else from the most recent release?
Only after Brian shows us his clarinet sound.
Oh, yeah, do your clarinet sound.
Okay. Okay. So this tune, actually, we did record it for the new CD, but I recorded more tunes than I was able to use. And I counted it off faster than I should have when we recorded it, so it never made the cut. But this is a tune called Almost Inside. Thank you.
That's the Bill Anschel Quartet in an 88.5 KNKX live studio session. The song Inside Out, featuring Bill on piano, Brian Monroney on guitar, Chris Eimer on bass, and drummer Brad Bull. Inside Out, or nearly inside.
Almost inside.
Almost inside. I just keep going until I get it right.
Okay, you got it.
Another 4/4 song that was cleverly disguised, I guess.
Cleverly disguised as being in three?
Yeah.
It's possible if you started tapping your foot at the beginning and counted through to the end, it would have been divisible by four. I don't know.
But it would have been, yeah.
Well, it would have been insanely polyrhythmic, and we would have loved it. You should have done it.
I couldn't take on the task. Now, you said before you played it that this didn't make your most recent record
because
you counted it out too quickly.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about doing a second take?
No, that's a good question. If I think we actually did two takes and they were both too fast.
Hmm.
That's just kind of the way it goes in the studio. We were going pretty fast. And if I'd been smart, I would have brought metronome markings to tell myself exactly where to put them. But at the same time, I like to give myself a little leeway to kind of be spontaneous, even though sometimes it destroys a perfectly good tune.
You see where it gets you.
Yeah.
Now, with this, you have, what shall we call it, a pastime, at least, as a writer.
Right.
And you write humorously about jazz. That would seem to be almost as hard as playing jazz itself, is writing humorously about it.
No, I think there's a lot of material there. I think anyone who's been doing it for a while would tell you it's pretty much a gold mine as far as stuff to work with.
Just like not putting this song on the record because it was too fast and you didn't ever do a take that was the correct tempo.
Right.
Might harken back to a musician's recording budget, let's say,
yeah,
which would kind of open itself up a little inspection. Now, you've had a little of your work published in a national jazz publication, Jazz Times. Yeah?
Yeah. Actually, they wrote a story about my stories, kind of, and the Wall Street Journal, actually, that was the bigger surprise.
I didn't know about that.
They had a piece about the shrinking jazz audience, and they actually cited my story called Careers in Jazz, which is kind of about how the supply of musicians exceeds the demand. And because that's kind of an economic term, it turns out that economic bloggers had latched onto that story as an exercise in dysfunction. That's how they described the jazz community based on what I wrote. And that's why there are some jazz musicians out there who don't like me that much for what I wrote. But it was with the best of intentions and love in my heart.
Yeah, well, you know, it has always seemed to me that there's a part of the jazz audience that kind of does itself a disservice by being a little too clubby, sort of a little too almost organized, and not terribly welcoming of people who maybe just kind of walk in off the street or sort of don't know what they know. It's a little bit of...
I mean, there are a lot of little weird things that are pretty unique to the jazz world. Partly just because of what I said. I mean, the demand exceeds supply, so you've got people who are not doing it for conventional American reasons, which would be making money. Right. They've got something else going on, and usually it's the love of the music. Sometimes there are complications beyond that, but...
Well, you know, one of the pieces... Your pieces can be found, by the way, at your website.
Right, they're all up there, free.
And one of them is How to Be a Jazz Critic.
Right.
And may I read a short excerpt?
By all means.
How to Be a Jazz Critic by Bill Anschel. Thinking about a career in jazz journalism? Jazz writing is a lot like jazz playing. You'll need to be talented, hardworking, passionate, and disdainful of material reward. If those are your gifts, we're here to ease your burden. Just memorize the handy phrases below and plug them into your stories as needed. You'll save years of training and write just like the real professional jazz critics. Be sure all your reviews include plenty of references to yourself. Readers need to be reminded who they're really reading about. Sound good? Now, repeat after me. America's indigenous art form, America's classical music, our national treasure, the sound of surprise, bright moments. It's a gourmet meal in a McDonald's culture. It's a fine wine, a literary masterpiece, gumbo. It's the blues, gospel, sadness, and joy. It's unacknowledged, tragic, disowned, downplayed, suppressed, an ugly stepsister, bastard child, shoeless orphan. It dies poor, no health insurance, alone in a Brooklyn apartment. The greedy record company releases a compilation of embarrassing outtakes. Touché. What were you trying to get off your chest, Bill?
Oh, nothing. Why do you say that?
Wild guess. Just taking a wild stab.
Yeah, that was very well read. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm sorry for the
I'll
few fluffs in there.
I'll try to tap into that in the future.
Yeah, I'll do, yeah, I can do, I can.
Books
I can,
on tape?
Yeah, I'll do them aloud for your site. So, why go to the, I don't want to say go to the trouble, but it's kind of mischievous in a way, I think, to do humor pieces on jazz. Well, why do it?
I don't know. You know, I started way back when I would put out, you know how some people put out holiday newsletters with news about their family?
Unfortunately,
I would, yeah. So I was part of that tradition, but I would also have a little story about jazz that I would write just for the fun of it. And they started getting longer. And then one of them, the one I wrote about jam sessions, took on this huge internet life. It was, I got versions of it in multiple languages, and people were sending it to me without even knowing I wrote it, because the first thing people did when they cribbed it was to take my name off it.
Sure.
But I don't know. There's, you know, the fact that people enjoyed it and that I enjoyed doing it. I don't think I've ever made a penny writing about jazz, but it's just fun. I'm sorry that some people are thin-skinned and don't always love it, but most people, you know, most people enjoy reading it.
Well, and pardon me, and it's all there to be read at Bill Anschell's website, and I recommend it. So they're really fun pieces.
Thank you.
We should not take ourselves too seriously.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's our mission. I can say that nobody in this band takes themselves too seriously.
I didn't hear one clarinet approximation.
Well, yeah, he takes himself that seriously, but yeah.
You're not going to do it, are you, Brian? You don't have your clarinet pedal?
I might be able to pull off a trumpet, though.
Oh, that'll be fine.
There we go. Yeah.
Something kind of like
That was a sound like a guitar to me, man.
Okay. Trumpet-ish.
Trumpet-ish guitar. Well, if your website is up to date, I think that I can say with relative surety that, Bill, you're going to be appearing with Susan Pascal. On Saturday at Tula's. You'll be performing on the 22nd, Friday the 22nd, in Tacoma. You're still part of that faculty.
Oh, the UPS recital? Faculty, yeah.
UPS. And then I presume this band at the
Burien? This band's got a couple gigs in the books. One is in November at the North City Wine Bistro. The other's in February at Tula's. And then we're going to start playing pretty much every other month at Tula's. So many chances to hear us in 2018.
Good. It's a terrific quartet.
Thank you.
Can you give us one more before you say
off? This is not an original, but it's a pretty original arrangement of a Thelonious Monk tune called Misterioso.
Will I be able to count with it?
You will be able to tell it's Misterioso. And to give listeners something to grab onto, we're actually kind of taking a risk on live radio, which is that every time you hear the solo move from one guy to the next, every time the soloist changes, we change the feel. And it happens with increasing frequency, but we have not discussed in advance what each feel will be.
All right.
So you will hear a period of us adjusting to each other and finding it, which to me is a great thing about jazz, where you can actually kind of hear the musicians thinking. And that will be going on as this piece happens.
All right. Thinking will be occurring during the piece of music you will be hearing. It is their arrangement of Thelonious Monk's Misterioso on KNKX. And we will now, in accordance with jazz policy, give you a golf clap before you begin. Okay? Join me, everyone. Absolutely perfectly light.
Golf clap-like.
Thank you. That was delightful. I think Monk would approve.
I hope so.
That was the Bill and Show Quartet live on 88.5 KNKX with a very unique arrangement, if we may call it that, of Thelonious Monk's.
Derangement.
That's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Derangement of Thelonious Monk's Mysterioso. I love the way you guys get in and out of that with that kind of Monk meets Robert Fripp meets a not quite successful fireworks exhibition.
Gotcha.
It's great. Lots of fun. And as I recall, that's the first song your most recent release.
Yeah.
The most recent release is called Rumbler. You can hear that song on it. And I will recommend that CD to you if you've not heard it yet for your beautiful solo rendition of the Lennon McCartney song For No One.
Oh, thank you.
That's just gorgeous.
Thanks.
And really worth the price of admission to that release. Well, thank you very much for coming, everybody. Bill Anschell on piano. Let's give him a hand, please. Brian Monroney shredding it on the guitar when appropriate. And Chris Seimer on bass, Brian Bowl on drums. Thanks very much for everyone. Thanks as well to our Leadership Circle members in our studio audience who help make these wonderful sessions possible. Also, thanks to our studio session sponsor, the Shack Art Center, and everybody listening, and again, most specifically to the band. Thank you, Bill Anschell.
Thank you. Thanks, KNKX. It's a really nice service you guys offer.
And,
it's great.
Yeah, you make it even nicer.